March.
Morning, church. My name is Buzz Shortland. A lot of you know my beautiful wife, Virginia. And I was going to say Virginia's my better half, but that's not accurate, really. She's more like my better three quarters, my better seven eighths. And I say that for one particular story is that back in July, my son and our grandkids came to live with us and have been there since. And her heart for bringing in these kids, I mean, we are empty nesters, right, for a long time. And all of a sudden, there are these little kids scampering around. It's like, what's going on here? And but her heart, oh, thanks for not. Her heart and love and caring for these kids is phenomenal, you know, and it's just, you know, like the youngest one would have a poopy diaper or something, you know, and it's, you know, and you know, Virginia's like, hey, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it, la-di-da, you know, that's all it is, and I'm like, oh, whoa, what is that? You know, it's like, yeah, get it away. Anyway, Virginia got baptized before I did, a little while before I did, like 6 years or so. And I was a tad prideful at the time. I figured, you know, I didn't really need this. And in fact, if you go back to the 1999 printing of Webster's Dictionary, and you look up prideful, there's actually a picture of me right there. So that's not a good picture either. So I went into Bible studies finally after about 6 years and studied the Bible with four very, very patient men, Keith Mangrum, who's usually here, I think he might be here today, among them, just, you know, at times I thought I was going to wear them down, and it took about a year of studying, but they stuck with me, and then finally I was baptized, and just a few days ago marked 23 years since then. I guess that's a proof that it's never too late, right? So. When we were studying the Bible, and I think when people in general study the Bible, you know, you come across stories or verses that are really meaningful to you for whatever reason. Maybe it's some circumstance in your life at that point, or it's something that's inspirational. Maybe it's faith building. You know, for me, it was Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and specifically verses 5 and 6. Which says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, for me, that's incredibly inspirational. And and from that, I imagine that in the house of the Lord, there's a table set up. And it's not just set up for me, like in the scripture there is a table set up for me. It's a table set up for all of us. You know, it's going to be a really big table, right? But, you know, the thing is that, you know, Jesus is there. You know, the disciples are there. You know, our loved ones that have gone before us, family members or friends or whatever, are there as well. And the best thing is, at that table, there's a seat for every single one of us. You know, for every instant, for Dusty and Francis's new babies, there's a seat. You know, for my grandkids, as crazy as they may be at times, there's a seat. And for those of us whose most of our years are now in the rearview mirror, you know, there's a seat. And for everyone in between. And if you're someone who is so incredibly ashamed of how you've lived your life or the things that have happened to you that you can't even imagine that you would ever be in God's good graces again, there's a seat. You know, there's in Luke 15, there's a trilogy of parables, you know, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Pardon me. Ah, better. You know, I've never owned sheep, so that one doesn't really resonate that strongly with me. you know, in my life through, you know, bills, you know, life expenses, taxes, carelessness, whatever, I've lost a lot of coin, so I don't want to talk about that one either. But the third parable of the lost son is meaningful to me, and I'm sure it's meaningful to a lot of the folks that are here as well, because I've been that person. I mean, that really resonates. I'm going to read just a little bit. I don't want to read the whole thing, but there's part of it that just is, you know, to me, really inspirational. And so Luke 15, verses 20 through 24. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against you, sins against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The meaning there is obvious. I mean, I've heard that, you know, the parable of the lost son is one of the most popular stories in the Bible, for the obvious takeaway that is, no matter who you are or what you've done, you know, God will welcome you with open arms. But it's a commitment. You know, we have to commit to it. It's not an RSVP like, sure, you know, maybe I'll show up or maybe I won't. You know, it's a commitment, and it's a life change, and it's life changing. So, you know, if you're someone who's done incredible things in your life, or you're someone that hasn't done incredible things, you know, regardless of, you know, race, color of hair, political party, whatever, there's a seat for you at this table. When we take communion today, however you're best able to imagine it, imagine that you're at that table. And the most important thing to remember is you're seated at that table only because Jesus conferred on us a kingdom by pouring out his life for us. And Romans 5:8 reads, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So this morning, as we take the bread and the juice, it's great to imagine being seated at a table with the king. But again, let's focus on the fact that we can sit at that table and enjoy a great feast only because Jesus gave up his life on the cross for us. There's no other reasons. And without Jesus, there's no seat, there's no table, and there's no feast. So let's do this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who freely gave his life for us, so that when our time comes, we can eat and drink at his table and in his kingdom. Father God, you give so much to us. You give us so much hope. You give us so many reasons for faith. And God, to me, this vision of a table in heaven and you providing a seat for me and a seat for all of us is as real as the air I breathe. God, I thank you so much that you love us and you care for us and you've prepared this place for us. We love you, and it's your son's name we pray. Amen.